Well, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church. I'm glad you could join us this morning. Whether you're watching it live with us here this morning or you're watching it later in the week. Actually, this week we have some visitors. We're trialing out and testing our live stream and having people in the building. So now we'll see who's here. Let's have a quick look around. Everyone give a wave. We have some special visitors who agreed to come in and give it a test. There we go. There they all are. All wearing masks. All have followed the rules. So our plan is from next Sunday is to have people who can come and join us. So we're planning that. So please do watch. We'll send out some emails and some details in the coming few days. If you've got a prayer request, and we ask that you put it in the comments, it's an important part of our fellowship over the last 6 months that we found ways to connect with each other and to support each other. So if you have a prayer request, then please do write it in the comments, whether it's something that God's put on your heart or something you'd like to share with the wider fellowship. And then at the end of our service, Chris Smith is going to come and wrap up all our prayers together and pray for us as a fellowship. Please also join us after church for coffee and chat on Zoom. All the details are in the email. If you don't get our email, but you'd like to join us, put a comment and we'll kind of send you the details of how to join us for a chat after our service. Also, if you've got children with you, you can download the resources on our website. And please do check. There's a good printable resource that connects in a little bit with where our service is going. So please do have a look at that. Our Sunday evening prayer meeting, and we've had a break over the summer, but starts back this evening at 6:30. Bismarck's going to be hosting our first one of this term, so please do join us at 6:30 on Zoom. And thank you again, Bismarck, for hosting that and leading us in that important ministry. Well, as part of our start to our service, Sarah's going to open our time of worship. So over to Sarah.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sarah. We appreciate you leading us this morning in our worship. Now, over the last 6 months, we've been having interesting chats with people, just catching up. And this week, I had the pleasure of catching Julie, the Cara Coffee manager. It was at the end of a long day, but I managed to get 5 minutes with her. And this is a recording of a conversation that we had. So we'll listen to that now.
Well, good morning. We've got an opportunity just to have a chat with Julie from Cara Coffee. So, Julie, during lockdown, we've just been asking people about their biggest challenges and their biggest blessings. And what's been your biggest challenge over these last few months?
Well, I suppose everything about me and about what I feel called to is bringing people together and engaging with people. And so it's been really difficult without being able to meet up with people on a face-to-face basis. Everything that all those ideas I've had have been kind of taken away, and I found it quite difficult. It's felt quite isolating being stuck indoors and not being able to have those face-to-face conversations. And you know, Zoom is great, isn't it? But yeah, it's not like having a chat with somebody over a good cup of coffee.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. I think other people have shared that experience, but I suppose a challenge, there has been blessings in this time. So what's been something that's been of a blessing over this last period?
I suppose it's helped me to reflect on what's really important and given me time to really appreciate some of those blessings, actually, that I may have taken for granted. And we've been blessed with good weather this summer, and just going for little walks or in the countryside and just noticing blossom on trees, which I probably walked straight past, you know, that time a year ago, and spending time with family indoors and just having conversations that we probably wouldn't normally have had. I suppose just discovering the local countryside near where we live as well, because we haven't been able to go away on holiday, and just to take notice of the things that are right in front of our noses.
That's really interesting. And we're having this interview in the coffee shop in Cara Coffee. We've been open for a few weeks now. Tell us a little bit about what's been happening.
So we opened at the beginning of August. So we've been open for a month, and we were quite nervous about opening because, you know, it's so different to what we were doing before. We've got quite a limited space here behind the counter. To maintain social distancing, we are limited to two people behind the counter, so we've only been able to do coffee and cake and a couple of savoury items. But actually, it's been lovely. It's been lovely being back, and the customers have come in and said, it's just so good to have a space to meet, and they haven't really asked for a full menu. It's been very few people that have said, you know, asked for lunch. They're just really glad to have somewhere to meet and just, you know, chat with friends over a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. So it's actually been quite positive, really. The feedback has been amazing. And so many people have said it's so nice to see you back, and just had lots of conversations with regular people and new people as well who haven't experienced Cara Coffee before. So.
And you've all had to do new training, so your volunteers have been trained to do the different system?
Yeah, so we had a couple of training sessions before we opened just to make sure people were aware of where we had to stand. We've moved the till in front of the counter to create more space behind here. So a few things have changed and it's worked really well. Yeah, I think a few people have decided to not come back for a while, which has been fine. And I think the people who have come back have really enjoyed the extra time to be able to talk to customers without the frantic, you know, lunchtime rush. And I think people who know me know that food prep isn't my favourite part of the role. So, yeah, just the coffee and cake thing is my favourite bit. So,
Well, there you go. Well, it's been fantastic to talk to you this morning. And we're really excited about the coffee shop and being open. Tell us what days it's open.
So we're open Wednesday to Friday all day. So as from next week, we're opening at 9 till 4.
Right.
And then Saturday mornings, 10 till 1:30.
Fantastic.
For the time being.
And there's limited space inside, and we've got space outside.
Yeah, that's right. Well. Yeah, so we've got two tables, two small tables inside at a push, but we've got outside seating, front and back, that at the moment we're just making the most of the good weather. And
fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing with us. God bless.
It's a pleasure.
Well, it was great to catch up with Julie in the week. Do continue to pray for Cara Coffee as we enter the winter months and a challenging time for lots of small businesses, especially coffee shops. But let's keep encouraging and spurring the team on. And we're so thankful to see it open and people enjoying being part of that. Now, we're going to go and join probably the most popular part of our live stream service, if I'm honest, and that's Clive and Diana. So we're going to go and hear from them this morning. So over to Diana.
Good morning, everyone. It's really lovely to be with you again today, isn't it, Clive? What's the matter with you? You don't get it. What don't you get? Is it because there's lots of things that have changed? What is it then? You don't get the words. Which words? Lots of words. You don't understand them. Today's word. Mercy. What does it mean? Oh, well, mercy is like being kind and forgiving when people have done something wrong and they deserve to be punished. Can I give you an example? Okay. We'll use the scones that you've made and we'll imagine that this is a scone making competition. What, like in Bake Off? Yes, and you are the judge. Can you be Paul Hollywood? If you want to. Some people think you look like Paul Hollywood. Well, I don't know if that's being kind or not. Well, let's imagine that we have two contestants and they've each made a scone for the final judging. So, here is the first one. Have a look at it. It looks delicious. Smell it. It smells good. And now the taste test. That's the best bit. Well, you would think so. You're just about to take a bite when you notice something a bit strange about some of those raisins. They don't look quite right. They are dead flies. Yuck! That contestant should be disqualified. I absolutely agree. So, let's have a look at the other scone. This one must be the winner. Well, you still need to judge it properly. Here it is. Look at it. It looks good. Well risen. And a good colour. Better check the raisins. They look fine. You can't see any flies. What about the smell? It smells good. It's making you hungry. Can you taste it now? Well, I think we should cut it open first to check the texture. Let's cut it. Here we go. What's that hidden in the middle? More dead flies. That's despicable. hiding them in the middle. Didn't they think we'd find them? Probably not. What do you think should happen, Judge? Both contestants should be disqualified. Do you think that's what they deserve? Definitely. And that is justice. But as the judge, you could decide to have mercy, to be merciful. You could say that even though they don't deserve it, you will give them another chance. Will they make nice scones this time? Well, they might, but they might not. And sometimes that's how we are with Father God. We mess up and get things wrong. Like having dead flies, yes. And sometimes those wrong things are obvious to other people. But sometimes we hide them away, where we think no one will know and no one will see. But Father God knows, because he knows everything about us, and yet he still loves us, even when we're full of dead flies. And in his mercy, he gives us another chance. Jesus has taken the punishment that we deserve, and our sins are forgiven. We are forgiven. And the Bible says that we should be merciful, just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. So we should show the same mercy to others, however many dead flies we can see or are hidden. There aren't really any flies in the scones. No, they're not. So we could eat them now. Well, we could, but we should say goodbye first. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive. And we hope to see you again next week. Have a good week. Bye.
Well, thank you, Diana, and for Clive as well. And we're going to be thinking about going deeper. We've talked about this a little while ago and continue to think about how do we grow and dig deep into our understandings of things. And this week we're going to look at mercy. How do we go deep in our understanding of mercy? So when you start going deeper into something, you come across challenges and assumptions along the way. Maybe you've thought in the past about something, and when you start it, you start questioning it. If you really want to go deeper, you have to work on those assumptions. So imagine you want to go running, if you want to start running. Well, you'd think you just have to start walking fast, don't you? That's it, you would start running. But if you really want to run fast, you'll need a training program. You might need to change your diet when you eat. You might need some trainers if you want to do it properly. Now, if you're going to buy trainers and you want to run well, then you need to know what your gait is. You need to know whether you've got neutral pronation, under pronation, over pronation. Whichever one you are depends on what type of trainer you want. You might discover that having started to run and get into running, you've got new aches and pains. You might need to go to a physio. You might need to learn to understand what interval training. There's loads of things that make something that we think is simple, actually to go deeper in it, actually needs a lot of thought. I wonder if you can think of anything that you started off thinking, well, that's a simple task, but actually when you got into it and learnt about it, you understood that actually it was really quite complicated. Maybe you had your own foray into a complicated situation. Now, I was going to ask the audience, but I've been told I can't get them to shout out loud what their things were. But I do wonder if anyone could act out something that they thought was a simple task but actually turned out to be complicated. I don't know if this will work or not. Can we see any actions? No? No one's got a hobby or a challenge or something? Oh, David's going to do something. Filming. Doing a live stream, you'd think it was really simple, wouldn't you? But actually, you want to do it well, it turns into a really complicated task. Thank you, David. You're saving me there at the back. So if we're going to go deeper in our understanding of God, we might need to unlearn some stuff and face some big questions. If we're going to start to think deeper about mercy, then we need to understand afresh what Jesus said about mercy and how that might relate to us today. So I was drawn this week to a passage in Scripture. Don't turn there quite yet. And it was a passage of Scripture where Jesus had an interaction with someone who was caught in adultery. And it's a famous passage and one that everyone here, I'm sure, has probably read loads of times. And maybe you know what passage I'm talking about. Now, depending on what your Bible type you have, when it was printed, what translation it is, we'll notice that actually often this passage has a little asterisk in it. And if you have the latest NIV, they've gone full on italics and set it aside to highlight there's something different about it. And there's something different because in this passage, modern scholars have some questions about whether it really should be there or not. So the words that we think Jesus said, that John recorded, maybe have some questions about them and some questions about whether it should be there or not. Now, there are loads of reasons why there are questions about this passage, and our modern Bibles probably are right to question whether it should be in this point in the Gospel of John. So what was already a difficult task, discovering what Jesus said, turns into an even harder task because the passage that we're looking at has some questions about it. So we can't just say, well, the Bible says, and that's it. So as I prepared this week, I was tempted to skip over this passage and think, do you know, this is just a bit too complicated. It'll be simpler if I find something else and speak on that. But then I allowed the italics or the asterisks to speak a little bit into my life and into my understanding of things. So as I approached this passage, it was a reminder that the Bible was written mostly by men, working within, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't handed down to God by God to us verbatim, but rather the followers of God's best efforts in recording and ordering Israel's stories and, in the New Testament, the early church's stories and Jesus' stories. What do we do then? How do we understand Scripture? Well, there is little doubt that the evidence described in this passage, or the situation described in this passage occurred. We think it probably did. It was very similar to other stories. And its insertion at this point might be to help explain other stories. So that might be why we think it was put there. Maybe it was there to highlight the Jews' sinfulness over and against Jesus' sinlessness. Maybe it was to highlight something else. So this morning, we're going to tiptoe around this passage, and it's John 8. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to encourage you to turn to John chapter 8. The words will appear on the screen. But its inclusion highlights something of a challenge going beyond just a simplistic understanding of Scripture and looking at its depths and truths in a new light. So, the passage should appear on the screen. So we know when any chapter starts but that there's something else going on beforehand, so you might want to look at a later time what was going on beforehand. But it says this, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. The law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on at him, questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this time, those who had begun to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and live your life from sin." A challenging passage. A few weeks ago, when we looked at Jesus' conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well, and you might remember it, we talked about Jesus' movement in that passage, what he did with his body, where he went and what he did. There's movement as well in this scene. We see Jesus walking in and sitting down to teach. Then this group who were listening, so there was a little gaggle listening, were disturbed by another group of Pharisees and teachers demanding that Jesus enact judgment on this woman. The law of Moses in this instance is a bit unclear. It's not particularly clear quite how they got to this point of having that the judgment was stoning this woman. But you can get there, but it's not straightforward. They wanted, ultimately, it wasn't about the law. It was about wanting to trap Jesus. So they threw a grenade into the conversation and just sat back waiting for Jesus to explode it. That's what they thought he would do. I wonder if you've ever been in a meeting like that, where you've sat around and someone said something for the reaction, to cause something, to instigate a reaction from those around, to force something to happen. But rather than pointing the finger at the woman, Jesus points his finger to the ground and starts moving it on the floor. And the famous saying, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her." And just like that, it cut to the heart, to their heart, the Pharisees' heart. Then stoops down and there's more writing in the dirt. After a while, Jesus straightened up and the place was empty. He was left alone with this woman standing in front of him. Jesus offers no condemnation. No stones were going to be thrown today. Just a "don't break the law, don't sin" is what Jesus says. That split second when he raised his head to look at this woman showed that Jesus was present with her in that moment. He didn't run after the others to try and teach them a lesson. He stayed with her and she stayed with him. And neither of them ran away from this precious moment. The judgmental ones had left, maybe from boredom, conviction, embarrassment. The only one present with Jesus was the one who was condemned. Jesus sees the woman and shows mercy to her. Mercy for the embarrassment she must have felt, being dragged there. Mercy because as a woman, she was an easy target. We don't have any mention of the guys. Where were they? They're nowhere to be seen. This woman was present with Jesus and she was awake to what Jesus was saying. The rest of the group couldn't bear to be present with him, unable to see past the sin of the woman needing mercy and love. This moment in time was a moment of mercy, showing kindness to someone who was miserable, whose life was miserable. Jesus was a pro at showing mercy, showing kindness rather than judgmentalism. If you look through scripture, it says all the time, Jesus showed mercy. If we were to understand the depth of this mercy, we need to discover how it plays a role in our own scenes happening around us. I wonder what scenes come to mind. Maybe you've even this week experienced times when you've needed mercy or you've shown mercy to someone else. It's also a call to be present with those we gather with, those we work with, those we live with, those we interact with. Present enough in the moment rather than jumping ahead to what's next. Present enough that we see past the judgmentalism of others and show mercy to those who need it around us. Jesus actively listened to this woman. The lack of arguing highlights the peace that Jesus brought to an explosive situation. This was supposed to implode on and cause a big scene. Instead of a big riotous crowd, we have two people left in the scene. It brought us to a point of conflict and pain, and we are to be bringers of peace in points of conflict and pain. Just like when Jesus really saw the Samaritan woman a few weeks ago, Jesus really saw this woman this week. So what do we see around us? Who do you see in your life that needs mercy? Some people, if we're honest, it's easy to show mercy to. We do it really easily, really quickly. Others, maybe it's a little bit harder. I wonder, is there someone who comes to mind who might need mercy, who might need you to be present with them, present enough to not be thinking past the moment, but to be real in that moment? We also might need to be honest to say, actually, maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. You need mercy. Maybe you've been damaged by judgment of others, wanting to find the mercy seat in front of Jesus. Many people in Scripture ask Jesus for mercy, seeking kindness from the Creator of the world. We too can come to Jesus and receive mercy and peace. This movement our bodies make are a part of who we are. We're not to be separated from them. Now, in this moment, I want to give us a chance to think. Maybe you'll just notice your hand. Maybe you'll move your fingers. Jesus took his finger and drew something next to him. Maybe you'll just notice that. Maybe you'll draw a word next to where you are, on your sofa, in your garden. See the movement. Maybe it's mercy you'll write. Maybe it's forgiveness. I don't know what that word's going to be. Maybe it's a name of someone who you need to show mercy to this week. I'm just going to sit in that moment for a while, just for a few seconds. What word do you write? Is it for you, or is it a word for someone else? We're going to keep wrestling with challenging bits of Scripture. I think it's important that we don't whitewash over things, that when there's questions, that we delve into them, grow together, learn together, that we want to go deep in our understanding. We don't just want to just ignore parts of Scripture. So I hope that passage has spoken to you this morning. And it's important because it was included and speaks to us today, even if we might have questions about exactly where in Scripture it should be. Now, Sarah is going to close our time of worship for us now. So over to Sarah.
Draw me in thy strength, save me in thy
Well, thank you, Sarah. And one of the joys of having people in the building is it's not just me. So Chris Smith is going to come up and just gather our prayer requests together and pray for the church as well. So over to Chris. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. Let's pray. Father God, there are so many things to lift to you this morning. We start, Lord, with thanks for what we have got. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word that Martin shared with us. Plant in our hearts that which has been spoken. Father, we pray for all of those undergoing change at this time. Father, we pray for those who are moving into our area over the last few months, that they would settle in, particularly for the groups on Wednesday morning, meeting in the parks, the positive way that that has been to meet people. We pray for our schools. We thank you for all the work and preparation that has gone in to those classrooms to make it a safe place for all. We pray for all those who are anxious about the start of term, for all those who are looking forward to the start of term. Father, may your hand be upon all. Father, we pray for anyone else who is undergoing a change of circumstances, change of job, whatever it might be, we pray your hand would be in that place. We also pray for our church as we consider how we can move forward and have more people back into the building. Help us as you're helping other churches in our planning and our preparation for that. Particularly want to raise up for you some people we've been praying for a few weeks now. We pray for Eliza and Evelyn, who, great news, are able to start the new school term, something that seemed inconceivable a few weeks ago. We pray for your continued healing hand on them. We also pray for Derek and Leslie's grandson, Theo, as he starts secondary school, that your hand would be on him as well. Father, in this uncertain time and time of change, we pray your hand would be on our leaders as they make decisions, both at a local level and a national level. And finally, for ourselves, Lord, you know our hearts. They're laid bare before you. And whether we've got a lot of time, a little time, a lot of things to do, a few things to do, Father, I pray that whatever we do, it would be for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Chris, for leading the church in prayer. And I'll just close by saying a word of blessing for us. May love and laughter light your days and warm your hearts and home. May good and faithful friends be yours wherever you may roam. May peace and plenty bless your world with joy and long endures. May all life's passing seasons bring bring the best to you. Lord God, we pray a blessing on our church. I pray that your Spirit would be present with us this week. As we go now, I pray that you would send us away from either the screen or the building in peace. Well, please do stay, join us for tea and coffee on Zoom, but our service is ending now.